Welcome to the Health Tips Podcast. The Health Tips Podcast is all about fitting in fitness in a busy schedule. Part 2 of the Soha Ali Khan interview gets even more fun and candid. If you missed the first part, you can find it at tandurust.podomatic.com or just Google the Health Tips Podcast. We are usually the first link. A few snippets from part 1.
You know, I was just writing actually because as you know, I am expecting my first child, and in one of the baby books it says, you know, to write down the current world leaders when your baby was born. And as I was writing some of them down, I was feeling a little concerned about the direction that the world is heading in. I'm very intrigued to know where politics and the economy is headed. And especially when it comes to my investments. The seduction of Bollywood. It's a difficult temptation to resist. And at that point, and as someone who'd always enjoyed doing theatre, I thought if I do one film, yoga is something I feel that is... of course, you have to do it properly and you have to be instructed properly first if you're not already. But once you are and once you do know a certain basic level of yoga, you can do it wherever you are. You don't require anything, any accessories. It's just you're using your own body weight. And it's really very, very satisfying mentally, spiritually. And it really heals you not only on the outside but also on the inside.
And now for part 2 with Soha Ali Khan, the amazing actor and more importantly, a very lovely person. So for the other people who are pregnant or the women, what are the other kind of advice? You must have gone through a lot of trial and error. I think everybody's a kind of a mini laboratory in some ways. So what kind of advice, general advice, which did you learn over time or over this experience which you'd like to give to them?
You know, one thing that pregnant women don't need is more advice because they're always getting advice. And anyone who's ever been pregnant or knows someone who's pregnant has some nugget of wisdom or information to share. We have there's lots of old wives' tales as well. And there's a lot of medical and non-medical advice that you get. So one thing that I always say is that check everything with your doctor, with your healthcare provider. It's very important to get the right medical advice. And then, of course, there are all these nuskas and, you know, have milk with kesar and the baby will be fair. Look at a beautiful picture and the baby will be beautiful. You know, don't drink coffee, otherwise the baby will be dark. There are all sorts of weird myths that people share as well and things that are, you know, highly incorrect. But it's important to filter out the information. And instead of trying to lecture everyone and rebelling against it and fighting it, I find the most effective way to deal with it, and by it I mean unsolicited advice or slightly ridiculous advice, is to smile, to accept it, to say thank you, and then to do exactly what it is that you want to do. I would also say listen to your body, because it really tells you when you're tired, when you crave something, especially when I think you're pregnant. It's your hormones really searching out something that is a deficiency in you, whether it's a calcium deficiency, whether it's an iron deficiency. You tend to crave either red meat or dairy or chocolate or things that give you energy. So I think this is a time also to give in to certain cravings, obviously in the right portions and, you know, keeping your nutrition in mind. But it's a time to listen to your body. When you're tired, rest. But otherwise, you know, a lot of people say that you should put your feet up. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think it's important to be fit and active through your pregnancy, because otherwise it leads to complications like excessive weight gain, lack of circulation, swelling. All of those things tend to happen then.
Okay. So, I mean, I must say that you look perfect. I mean, you look absolutely brilliant.
Everyone is very kind to pregnant women, and I'm not going to be pregnant for much longer, and I'm going to really miss that because everyone is so nice to you. And I think all pregnant women, I mean, I think also because you really are a factory at work and you're building, it's incredible when you think about what's actually going on inside you. It blows my mind. I don't understand how it works at all. It totally blows my mind. But I think that when you realize you're doing that, when other people also realize you're doing that, they are nice to you. And I don't know whether it's always true that you're glowing. You're growing, certainly. I don't know how much you're glowing, but people are very nice, and I'm going to miss that the most.
No, I'm sure the kind of person you are, it will just continue even beyond that. But on another fact, let's talk about like mental health and depression. It's something which we don't talk about much, and I guess everyone goes through it at some phase of their life. Especially, I don't know how it's been in pregnancy. Is it more or less or whatever? How have you had times when you fell down, and how did you deal with it?
Of course. I think depression is also a clinical term, and it is it's a mental disease called depression, and there are ways of dealing with it. There are people who can help you through it. And what I feel there's a lot of lack of awareness about that in India especially, and a lack that people don't recognize it, and then it goes left untreated and it gets worse. One of the things I think you can do early on, and what I like doing, is talking. I know that different things work for different people, and some people don't like to talk about things. But I feel that when you share your troubles, you realize, A, that you're not alone. Other people also go through similar things. Somebody will have something that they'll be able to share with you. Just the fact that you know that someone else has been through it and that they got through it is motivating. I think sometimes when we try and deal with it ourselves and we can't, it becomes more problematic. So as much as possible, of course, without needing to share everything with everyone, I think if you lean on a few people, and my advice would also be to those family members and friends, is to listen to people when they're talking to you and you feel that they're coming from a place of depression. I think that it's important to listen as opposed to being dismissive about it. A lot of people say snap out of it. Just, come on, just snap out of it. And it's sometimes difficult to snap out of it because it is a problem. So the things that I have to say, I've been fortunate in that my depression has never got that bad. I think also because I've been surrounded always by a supportive family, an attentive family, good friends, a dog. I really feel that my pet must be at home. It's impossible to be depressed around her because there's this source of unconditional love and need. So I know that I need to look after her, I need to feed her, I need to walk her, I need to play with her, and it's impossible to get sad for too long when that happens. I think another thing to recognize is that it's all right to go through bouts of depression, and that you're not always going to be happy, it's not always going to be an incredible day, and to accept that also. But to realize when it's becoming a pattern, or whether, when it's becoming a problem. And then to address it. At times, you can stop it before you need to seek professional help. But sometimes friends can help, and sometimes friends can't help. And it's important then to go to a therapist or someone who's trained in dealing with that. And I think there's a lot of taboo surrounding that as well. Mm-hmm. And hopefully now people are realizing that it's all right. Even if you're going to a doctor, whether it's a psychiatrist or a psychologist, that's all right because you are treating something. So, at least in urban areas and cities like Mumbai, people are talking about this. In Bangalore, people are talking about this. And that needs to happen more and more.
Okay. So that's awesome advice for, a lot of people. I mean, thousands of people who probably would be listening to this would feel encouraged to know that, not all the glamour and all is, it's not all fun and games. Sometimes,
especially in an industry like this, which is so competitive, which is so based on your looks, it's very easy to get depressed. And also in a city like Mumbai, which is, everyone's very busy, you're often left alone. It's difficult to find friends to talk to at the right time. Then again, that feeling of loneliness and competitiveness, as I said. So I can completely understand why, especially in cities, especially in industries as competitive as the film industry, people do. And on the outside, you think that, they have these fantastic lives and they're making money and they're wearing beautiful clothes and they're having these whirlwind romances. But there is a lot of depression. So I think it's important to recognize that as well. Bollywood is not all just glitz and glamour.
Okay, so on that note, what is there something which, you know, after all this these years, this probably, if you think of a younger you, the you that went to college, is there some kind of words of advice which you would have given to the younger you based on all that you've experienced over the years? Because I'm sure it must be absolutely a huge number of experiences.
That's a good question, and one that I'll have to think about. One of the things I would have told a younger me would certainly be to have learned how to ride a bicycle.
Oh, okay.
I never learned when I was young, and that's something I really regret, because we went on holiday to Amsterdam just 2 years ago, Kunal and I and our friends, and Amsterdam, everyone's riding bicycles, and I never learned. Also, when I went to university in England, everyone was riding bicycles, and I never learned, so I had to take the bus, or I had to wait, or I had to walk. So that's one thing. The other thing I think is, a lot of girls go through this, a lot of boys go through this phase where you rebel against your parents. And I think it's important to experience that yourself as well. But there is a certain merit in what I think, you know, especially my mother and I went through a volatile phase where I would fight everything that she said. But I think it's important sometimes, instead of, you know, throwing up your hands or slamming the door, to think about the fact that that advice is coming from a place of wisdom, of experience, and from someone who really loves and wants the best from you. So whether it was, you know, for example, choices in boys, whether it was choices in schools, like she wanted me to go to America to study, and I was very keen that I wanted to study in England. You know, it's you shouldn't dismiss that advice too soon. I'm not saying that you shouldn't believe in what you want to do. Absolutely, you should, and you should have conviction in yourself. But I think that we go through a phase where we really fight our parents. And I think maybe also this is coming from a place where I'm going to become a parent. And I'm realizing now that, you know, me and my future child might have discussions like that. And as they say, you know, it's life is a circle, and I might have to deal with that myself. But I think that's something that perhaps I would have advised a younger, more rebellious me.
Wow. So were there any memories, especially of your dad, which kind of come to you, which you kind of remember, you know, now that you are kind of becoming a parent? So any kind of memories which you'd like to talk about?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the, I remember him all the time, and I genuinely believe that he was the coolest father. I mean, of course, he was the only father I had, but I can't imagine a cooler man. He was a gentleman through and through. I never, ever heard him raise his voice, and yet he was the most commanding presence. And what I loved about the way he taught was that he taught through example. It's not like he would lecture you. He would never tell you what to do, but you could see how he conducted himself. And as a result, you knew what he approved of, what he disapproved of, and how he lived his life. He lived his life by example. And I think that's the best way also to teach. I would like to teach my children that way. Instead of saying, aisa karo, vaisa karo, do this, do that, it's much better to teach by example.
Any particular incident which really comes to your mind as something which you really cherish, you know, as you think of your childhood?
There's so many. Again, you know, he helped me with my Oxford entrance exam, the essay. In fact, the opening line, it was a historical essay, which I think I have to cast my mind back, but I think it compared Henry VIII and Sher Shah Suri, you know, one of the emperors from that time. And he really, because he used to write very well, so he helped me do the opening line of the essay. He would also help me fill up my visa application forms, so, and with a lot of humor. So he used to always say, I used to say, I can't write this, Abba. So for example, when I was applying to go to Australia on holiday, and it said, do you have a criminal record? And Australia being a country that was, again, formed by a lot of convicts that were sent off from England, he said, I didn't think you still needed one. I was like, I can't write that. They won't let me in. So he said, no, they might find it quite amusing. They go through so many papers, it'll be refreshing for them. So he had a great sense of humor, and he would always make you laugh. And, you know, as I said, I don't think there's anyone else like him.
Well, so thank you, Soha, and that was absolutely wonderful talking to you. It's been such an inspiration, you know, your movies and your entire life, and of course your dad and your mom and everybody. So thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you so much for having me, Karan.
Thank you, Soha. To make sure you keep up with the show, follow us on Twitter @HealthTipsRadio, on iTunes or at thandurust.podomatic.com. And thank you, Atharva Marcom, India's smartest public relations firm, for all the support. They have a simple tagline: we make you famous. Reach out to them at atharvamarcom@gmail.com or at +91 9901 742 544. If you like this, you could give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. You can reach out to us by email at tandurust@gmail.com. Stay healthy, keep moving.